We're going to come around the Word of God and just like to start by praying. Can't do too much of that, can we? Father God, I just thank you for your Word and for your promise that it won't return to you void, that it will accomplish what you're sending it to do. And Lord, right now we prepare our hearts and we say, Holy Spirit, enlighten to us that we can take them with us and put them into practice in the days and the weeks ahead. Lord, bless your Word, we pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So today's passage of Scripture is Ephesians 5:21. We're looking at one verse, but I'm actually going to go back because it's a fortnight ago that we did it, and I'm going to read from verse 15 because I want to read the context so that you can see that it actually links to what comes before. It says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." This evening we're going to be focusing on our relationships with each other in the body of Christ, looking at what it means to submit to one another. And how do we do this out of reverence for Christ? You may have noticed when I read out the passage that submission is one way that we can live wisely. And it's listed as one of the expressions of being filled with the Holy Spirit. However, this verse not only links to what precedes it, but it also leads into the next passage that speaks about our other relationships and life, which you will hear about next week. The Greek word translated as submission in this verse is apologies of my Tasso means to arrange. Therefore, submission is to arrange under, to arrange in order under. Used as an active verb, it actually means to subject someone else or to cause someone to submit. It was primarily used as a military term. For example, if you were in the New Zealand Army and you were a private, you will be under a lieutenant, who is under a captain, who is under a major, who is under a brigadier, a colonel, who is under a brigadier, and you can keep on going up till you get to the top guy, the field marshal, and he is under the Queen because she commissions all of our officers. In Ephesians and Colossians, though, it is not used in this way. Here it is not in a military sense. It is in a passive form, not an active form. And it means that we choose to submit ourselves. Nobody submits us. We choose to submit ourselves. We choose to have an attitude prepared to arrange under another. This principle of submission is to undergird all of our relationships. It's countercultural, I know, to the world and to our old nature. It challenges our me first instinct, doesn't it? And it asks us to live lives of servant-hearted submission to each other. Notice how Paul exhorts us not to demand that others submit to us in our way of thinking and doing, but rather that we voluntarily choose to submit to each other. Our motivation is to be out of reverence for Christ. It's out of the awe and the wonder of who he is and what he has done for us that we are able to submit to one another. Did you know, I didn't, that in the army, when a soldier salutes a superior officer, he is actually indirectly saluting the Queen, which is why, because she is the head and they are standing in her stead. And when we voluntarily choose to submit to one another, we are bringing honour and glory to God because this is his command. He is the one who is the authority in our lives. When we each seek to do this, submission is mutual. So let's have a look at what this sort of submission actually looks like in church. If you want to follow along, Philippians 2, verses 1 to 11 is a wonderful example. It says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in his spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in one mind. Sorry, I'm going to put my glasses on. I was hoping I could do this without putting my glasses up and down, but I'm struggling to read this, so excuse me if you look fuzzy. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but looking to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with him something to use, something that he had to take grasp of or use to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself to becoming obedient even to death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him above into the highest place, and he gave him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here we can see that Jesus' sacrificial submission is to set the tone of our lives and in our relationship with one another. Submission requires humility and a vulnerability. I love this quote from C.S. Lewis about humility. He says that true humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. In his book, Mere Christianity, he goes on to say that humility is defined by a spontaneous, subconscious self-forgetfulness. And it extends far beyond the typical categories of virtue or character building. It's where we will not be thinking about humility. In fact, we will not be thinking about ourselves at all. Pride leads us to demand from others what we fancy they owe us. Humility is to give to others what Christ teaches us we owe them. Humility means that we will value others as Jesus does. It's not based on a person's merits. It is based on who they are in Jesus Christ, our brothers and sisters, recognizing that they have equal dignity to us means that I cannot simply expect to always have my way, believing that my desires trump your way and your desires. In fact, we are called to value others not simply on an equal footing with ourselves, but above ourselves. Being prepared to give up our own comforts and desires for the good of another. To value another above yourself is choosing not to look down on them, not to violate their rights or to impose my will upon them. I won't seek to gain at their expense. I will choose to overlook offence and walk in the way of love as Jesus did. Our identity is rooted in the image of God in us and the Holy Spirit given to us by Jesus, who took away our sin and gave us his righteousness, making us children of God. We lose nothing by counting others more significant than ourselves. Submission to one another is expressed when we show honour and respect to them, living our lives in consideration of them, recognising the rights of others and our obligation to serve them. When we set aside our own preferences and comfort for the good of another, when we give up our right to be right in every conversation, when we let others take the lead rather than having to throw our own opinions around so freely, when we seek to preserve unity and peace in the church, letting love rule, when we choose to be cooperative, when we are prepared to be quiet at times, to take a back seat, supporting others, letting them shine, when we are willing to give of ourselves for others, when we will give up our seat of comfort, of power, of prestige and service to others. And we're to do it with a joy and a thankful heart and reverence for Christ, who gave up his seat for us. Jesus chose to leave heaven and become a man, to die the death of a common criminal, and he did it all for our good. But then God exalted him to the highest place. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And he is calling us to do likewise, so that others will benefit and be blessed by our actions and our attitudes. In the Trinity, all are equally God in every respect. But to carry out the divine plan for humanity, the Son voluntarily submits to the Father's will. And the Spirit voluntarily submits to the Father and the Son. There is no rivalry, no jealousy among them, but rather perfect love and harmony. And we're to submit to Christ, to each other out of reverence for Christ, knowing what he has done for us. Reread Ephesians chapters 1 to 3 to remind yourself of God's limitless grace that he has extended to you. And out of that awe and wonder of what he has done, serve one another. Unfortunately, you might not be like me, but you know, my sinful nature kind of gets in the way. It likes to push for what suits my sensibilities. And sometimes we throw a fit when we don't get our own way. But Christ has called us to be a new people, living a new way of life. Fortunately, we haven't been left to fend on our own, and Paul implores us to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Allow his influence to guide us. Let those rivers of living water flow from your belly out to others. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit to flow through our hearts, our redeemed hearts by God, and to bless believers, and then through them to bring life and light to the world and to each other. Living water brings life and growth and maturity and fruitfulness. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We will not find submission to each other without first being in submission to God. It is here that we become secure and our own identity and have nothing to prove, nothing to fear, because we are hidden in Christ, trusting in Him and fully convinced that God's way is the only way. We humbly choose to arrange ourselves under God's command, under His divine viewpoint rather than our own flawed viewpoint. It is the process of surrendering our will to the Father's. Daily we choose to submit ourselves to God and to the Holy Spirit to do His work in us to conform us into the image of Christ. Mutual submission doesn't take place at the same time. We, in effect, take turns. One person chooses to submit in one instance and the other person in another, according to what is appropriate at the time. If two of you are heading to the door and one of you opens the door and, you know, they say, you go, and they say, you go, and no, you go, and no, you go, and you carry on, all you end up with is a traffic jam and nobody can get through the door. At some point, someone has to submit to the other's request and say, thank you, I will go, I will do what you ask. Yeah, that makes sense? Likewise, nothing will be accomplished in the kingdom of God when we don't work together in mutual submission. It is using our gifts in service to the church, but also submitting to the giftings and expertise of others. We are called to both meet the needs of others, which is a privilege, we're told in Acts 20, where it is more blessed to give than receive, but also to accept help when our needs must be met, thus allowing others the blessing of giving in return. Authority and submission are required to achieve the purposes of God. When we all do what He asks us to do in His kingdom, it will grow. We can't all lead at the same time. We can't all follow at the same time. There would be chaos, and God is not a God of chaos. He is a God of order. Submission makes us vulnerable to one another, doesn't it? However, when both parties are treating the other as worthy of more honour than themselves, the needs of both are wonderfully met, each serving the other. I think it's important to mention that submission does not mean that we must blindly believe or do what another person says. Yet we are required to honour and respect them. If something is contrary to the word of God, we choose submission to God. To submit to one another first requires us to submit to God. Out of our thankfulness and our love for all that Christ has done, through the infilling of His Spirit, we are then able to submit to each other. Galatians 6, 9-10 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. I consider it a real blessing to be a part of this church community. So let's all prioritize right relationships, first with God, but with one another. May we be known in our community as those who love one another. So look for ways to lead, to serve, to give, to receive, to love, and to be loved. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you for saving us. We submit afresh to your Lordship in our lives. Holy Spirit, we ask now for a fresh infilling because, Lord, we know we can't do this without you. That we may serve you and each other in ways that will bring glory and honor to you. Prioritizing our right relationships with each other, that it might promote growth in your kingdom, both in our individual lives and corporately, and into our community. Amen. We're going to come around the communion table now, if we can just bring that out. And we've talked about doing things in reverence to Christ. And so now let's put our focus firmly back on him. Take the time in your own way to thank him. Thank him for our beings and the preservation of them. Thank him for all the mercies of life. Thank him that he was gracious enough to submit to the Father's will and give himself up for us. Thank him for all the spiritual blessings that we have in him. Thank him for his gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, with grateful hearts, we thank you for electing us, redeeming us, sanctifying and adopting us, pardoning and justifying us. We thank you for your grace towards us. We thank you for heaven and for eternal life, for the gospel and all the wonderful promises we have in Jesus. We thank you for your truths, for your ordinances, and for your ministry. Lord Jesus, we thank you.